Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we think about and the way we listen to the world. This is February 6th, 2024. And on today's show, we have a whole list of things that I would like to talk about. You know how that is. I have pages and pages of notes and tell them this and tell them that, or just things that are exciting that I want you to recognize and to know about. But of course, I would always encourage you to read Mark's Power Peak. That is the, you know, online newsletter that comes out every Saturday. It's free. If you have not signed up for it and you want to, go to 12listen.com and you'll see a link for Mark's Power Peak. And he never uses those emails for any other purpose or sells emails or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about it. But what's great about that newsletter is there's a number of articles that are encouraging, they're inspiring, they're provocative, they're going to, you know, kind of, you know, it's just part of being a family in a sense. And hey, what's so-and-so thinking this week? And like, what's coming out of Mo's mind this week? That sort of thing. But also, I write an article that is called The Week Ahead. And literally, day by day by day, it says exactly where's the moon and what's going on in the cosmos. What are all the cosmic interactions that are going on that particular day? Now, of course, it's written from my perspective, and you may say, oh, I don't think that's it, or I don't agree with that, but it gives you an idea about what's going on. And if you're a budding astrologer or an astrologer, and you know, maybe you'll want to kind of compare notes with that, or, you know, compare notes with me, but it tells you what's going on. And even though I do this every single day, I actually do often go back and read, you know, one or two of the days, because something will be going on and I'll go, what did I say about today? You know, what was coming through, you know, because that's what it feels like, by the way, when I write that Power Peak article, it feels like there's a whole team behind me. That's just, I'm channeling the information for a whole team of guides. And because sometimes I say something in the Power Peak that I literally, it's like, I don't know where that came from. That was not me, but it felt like something that maybe somebody else needed to hear. So believe it or not, I actually go back and read those sometimes going, what was going on today? And what was I thinking? You know, that sort of thing, just to give me some perspective. And it's wonderful because it's right there on my phone. I mean, you know, I just have to go to that email and click on the link and read for that particular day. Or if I want to remember what one of my colleagues said, I can also go and listen, or not listen, but read one of their articles as well. So I would highly encourage you to do that. Because, of course, on this show, we are going to talk astrology for the most part. And we're going to look at that week ahead, look at what's coming up for us. But sometimes there's just so much going on. And you know me, I get all wrapped up in it. And I may get hooked onto a few details, and then you'll say, hey, she didn't even mention such and such. So today I'm going to try to take it a little bit slower day by day, but there are a number of things going on this week. But the one theme that you're going to hear over and over and over is the Aquarian theme and Uranus, which is the planet that rules Aquarius. It's just happening all over the place. And partially because we do have three planets in Aquarius right now, but also because by next week, we're going to have five planets. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Sun, and Pluto are all going to be in Aquarius by next week. Because next week, Mars moves into Aquarius, as does Venus. And this week, even though those two planets aren't there, we have the other three, and the moon moves into Aquarius for, you know, 2.5 days. And during that time, we have a new moon in Aquarius. So if you feel like today's show is somewhat of a broken record, I would assure you that in many ways it truly is. Because this is an Aquarian Uranus time period. And, you know, and so if there's anything you want to learn or you want to brush up on something, that's what I would encourage you to brush up on. Because that is what's going on this week. So, and also I am over on Facebook trying to see if I can find our show banner. You know, we have a private group over there. So if you want to kind of join the discussion or ask a question or something, then you can go over there. And I do try to keep an eye on it, but you know, I talk about being singularly focused. which is what I'm going to say today about that new moon, is, you know, me too, so I don't want to get too distracted. But thank you for the people that are already there and are joining the conversation. Pamela and Renee, hi, thanks for being here. And Nancy, and I see that there's a lot more comments. Hey, James, it's always good to see you, and Leslie and Tara. Okay, now what is Gene Wilder? She's got a picture of Gene Wilder up there. Okay, thank you. And Alashea, thank you for coming in. And so everybody, if you want to come over to that private group, please do. And like I said, I'll try to keep an eye on that and answer any questions maybe that I can. Now, when I say questions, it's mostly going to be about whatever's going on this week. But here, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what's going on. Then we're going to take each of these like one by one, and I'll give you some more information. One thing, I want to draw your attention to Wednesday, because there's a couple of things going on that really are very special. Venus is in Capricorn right now. Not an Aquarius yet. She's in Capricorn. She is going to make a really positive connection to Uranus. That's a trine. And that connection is one of those things that like sparks love. It sparks romance. Or it sparks opportunities coming into our lives. Unexpected opportunities. It could be about money. It could be about, you know, being offered a job or something exciting happening in your job. Venus is a planet of values. So we're going to have a really special relationship on that day between Venus and Uranus. But also on that same day, we have Mars making a positive connection to Neptune. Now, in this case, it's going to be a sextile. But that's really wonderful because those two together, especially, we call those relationship planets. And by the way, the moon is also in Capricorn that day. So we have an interesting, you know, three of the planets that we mostly associate with relationships, not the only ones, but those are the three that a lot of people look at when they're looking at romance or love or relationships. They're looking at Venus and Mars and the moon. Well, they're all doing something special that day, and they're all mixing it up with Uranus and Neptune. So Neptune can be magic. Neptune can be dreams. So, you know, I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be special. So I want you to mark that on your calendar. Then, on Thursday, we have something going on that's also something to note. Now, in some ways, I'm going to backtrack on what I just said, because this is going to be the Aquarius Sun square Uranus. Notice that repetition of Uranus. And so what happens, you know, and here again, we're going to talk in more detail, but that's a contentious square. We're going, hey, wait a minute, I want my freedom. I don't want to be controlled by somebody else. And if I enter this partnership, or if I accept this job, or if I agree to do this, is that going to just like crimp my style? That's pretty big energy that's happening early Thursday morning. So in a sense, that is building up through Wednesday. So while we have all this magical stuff going on Wednesday about relationships, there's that other piece of our mind just going, hey, wait a minute, what am I getting into here? You know, so there's also going to be, you know, this a little bit of tug of war, let's put it that way. So I want you to know that that energy is building. And this is why we call it the cosmic dance. There's lots of players, there's lots of melodies, there's lots of themes going on. We go from a slow dance to a fast one, and lots of different interactions. It's not just black and white. And this is, too, why astrology can be fun, and it's not just cookbook astrology. It's not just one kind of energy that can be interpreted the same way every single time. For the same, you know, for everybody, actually. So, you know, we might meet the person of our dreams on Wednesday, and it is that perfect relationship that allows us our independence and freedom if we want that. So there's lots of different ways it can manifest. Now, going with our theme of Aquarius, guess what? By the time we get to Friday, that moon, which has moved into Aquarius, is now a new moon because it's in perfect opposition to the sun. Or rather, not opposition, that's a full moon. We've got the moon and the sun together. They're at 20 Aquarius on Friday. And that's in early afternoon Pacific time. So, and by the way, it's 20 Aquarius. So if you want to look at your charts and say, hey, what's going on at 20 Aquarius? Or maybe what's going on at 20 degrees of another sign as well? This is a new moon. We'll talk about that. Also on Saturday, now this isn't Western astrology, but it's Chinese. It's the Chinese New Year on Saturday. That's the 10th. This is the year of the wood dragon. And remember, I'm going to throw it in right now. The Chinese year is always in cycles of 60 years because there's 12 animals. They each appear, so they cycle through in 12 years, but then they attach an element to it. And so there's actually 60 different unique combinations. So we have not seen the wood dragon since 1964, which I love because I know many of you may not have even been alive in 1964. So if I said to you, okay, go back and think about 1964, look at 1964 and what was going on for you, you go, hey, wait a minute, CA, I wasn't even here. And I understand that. But for those of you who weren't, and maybe for those of you who were, it's when I think of 1964, there is one thing that comes up always and automatically, and that is the Beatles. I'm a child of the 60s, and the Beatles made their first appearance in the United States in 1964, and then it was just like widespread pandemonium after that. And I mean, they truly are my favorite group, probably always will be. They so shaped my childhood, my teenage years, etc., my whole life in many ways. So to me, 1964 is the Beatles. But also there was something big that happened that year, and that's the year that President Johnson also signed into law, the racial segregation, or non-segregation law. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was called. But that was a big, big thing. And I think about it now because of, all of the Black Lives Matter and the whole thing. And we're revisiting that time period, We're revisiting that whole decision or what that meant. And we're revising it. We're changing it. We're making it a little bit different. So if you get into the Chinese New Year, it can be really fun. I would encourage you to look up some of that stuff and maybe eat some Chinese food on Saturday, celebrate with friends and family, and just, celebrate the culture of it. But also you could do a little homework if you wanted to and say, yeah, what was going on in 1964? Now, astrologically, we could also look at that from the Western perspective and say, hey, what was going on? And kind of look at that 60-year cycle. But do remember, it's a 60-year cycle. So there's a lot to be gleaned by kind of watching those patterns. So that's a Chinese New Year. So no doubt about it, we have some major Aquarian energy, which is humanitarian. It's egalitarian. It's a sign of friendship. It's the sign of breaking the rules, revolution, being a rebel, finding that balance of, I want to find my group. I want to find those soulmates. I want to find those people of like mind, but I don't want to be bound by a lot of restrictions. Remember, Aquarius comes right after Capricorn. And Capricorn ruled by Saturn is very much about the structure, the organization, what ties things together, living by the rules, having traditions and habits and routines. So when the next sign comes along, what do you think it wants to do? It wants to break some of those up. Anything that has gotten too restricted, something that has just gotten so routine, it's just like boring you out of your mind, or it's just become a little bit dysfunctional, or maybe a lot dysfunctional. What happens? We want to break it up. So right now, we are in this very Aquarian phase, you could say for the next month, with the sun in Aquarius, and now the new moon cycle for 29 and a half days starting on Friday. But also, don't lose sight of the fact Pluto is in Aquarius, and even though it's going to make a short retrograde this fall, it's going to be in Aquarius until 2044. Okay, we're talking about a long cycle here. So if you feel like, once again, we're talking Aquarius, 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 we are. And it's worth your while to understand how Aquarius energy is reflected in our lives. Because those planets, they don't make us do anything. They're not causative. They're not a prime cause, but they reflect consciousness. To me, at least, that's what astrology is about. You know, it's about thousands of years of observations of people going, have you ever noticed on the full moon that people act like the following? Or have you ever noticed, you know, when babies are born in the middle of the summer, that kind of thing. So it is reflective. It resonates. It reflects mass consciousness and it reflects our personal consciousness, which is why those natal astrology charts can kind of become a blueprint for our assets and our strengths and also our weaknesses, where we need to accommodate or how we're likely to see things or what motivates us. So Aquarius is going to be an important view or lens that we're using for a long time to look at life. And it'll be very fascinating to just watch it, which also brings me that I can never say it enough. Just being the neutral observer in your life. We don't have to judge it. And this just comes home all the time because, you know, I know for me this week, several things have come up. And just being able to step back and watch myself make a judgment against somebody and just saying, you know what? I mean, there was a part of me, I was just getting so angry about somebody. And if I told you what it was, you go, oh yeah, because it was about a mistreatment of a dog. And I almost just couldn't control myself. I got so angry. But I did step back in terms of the observer and say, is that the person that you want to be? You know, is that the person? Now, it doesn't mean that you stand aside and let somebody mistreat a child, you know, another person, you know, a dog or even their car. It doesn't mean that we're inactive, but it does mean stepping back and looking like, why did that create such a reaction in myself? What was that about? And is that the person I want to be? And that's not the person I want to be. I don't want to be the person losing their cool. I don't want to lose my peace of mind. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't like feeling that way. And this week, several times that happened. So yeah, I can look at the planets and go, oh, that damn Aquarius, you know, I want to be a rebel. I want to be a revolutionary or whatever. No, just looking at it and say, do I like this feeling? Is, you know, just watching myself, not judging myself, maybe there again, not getting really angry at myself, but just go watching and going, ooh, how did that feel? How did that feel to be so judgmental, to be so angry, and to decide that person's a bad person? Because is that really about just wanting myself to feel like a good person? You know, just being, you know, introspective. And as we talk about that, that's one of the first things I wanted to bring up. The backdrop this week is very much a backdrop of being introspective. Why? Because we're in the last few days of the lunar cycle. And that lunar cycle really is a microcosm of our whole life. Because every 29 and a half days, there's a new cycle. So we go through this, and it's like planting a seed, nurturing and developing something. You know, is it a relationship, a project, something new? Then we deal with the unexpected problems or the delays that come up. Then we move forward. We solve them. How, you know, we make a resolution to keep moving forward or to start over or something. Then we get to that full moon and we go, hey, look at what we've created. You know, look at what this is. Maybe it's even a batch of cookies and we go, we taste them. Is this what we wanted? Did we need to do something different? So as we continue through the cycle, that's what we're doing. You know, we're giving away the cookies. We're disseminating the light. We're disseminating the information or the project. But then we're kind of also garnering what were the lessons learned. So by the time we get to this last week, that's what we're doing. We're kind of looking at the lessons, asking ourselves, what did we learn? What would we have done differently? You know, and so somewhere in our life that's coming up. But even then, as we get to those last couple of days, Wednesday, Thursday, we're releasing and preparing for something new. And we go through this every 29 and a half days. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to be depressed or that you have to be sad or that you have to spend the time by yourself. But if you notice that you're feeling more introspective or other people are being introspective, that's exactly what we do in the last few days of the lunar cycle. It's a very natural process that we go through. So, you know, just embrace it. And, you know, like I heard the term sweet sorrow. And I thought, oh, that kind of reminded me of this kind of time. Because in some ways, you know, even if we're just letting go of something, like let's say you go, hey, I'm finally going to, you know, clean out that closet. I'm going to do a little clutter clearing here. And as you kind of look at that blouse that you bought, it was so fun and you wore it to the party and blah, blah, blah. And you go, but you know what? I just don't want that anymore. Or I don't need it anymore or whatever. So you kind of, with sweet sorrow, you let it go, you know, or a sense of, you know, just romance or something, you know. This is also a time sometimes when I think we feel like we're longing for something. You know, some things are leaving our lives and we're longing for something new. So this can be a time of solitude. It can be a time of clutter clearing. Maybe offering service to either our families or somebody in the world. You know, and I've also heard the term graceful endings. You know, just letting something go with love and with thanks and gratitude. You know, these few days are really about learning the art of saying goodbye, you know, in a very graceful and loving way. So once again, if you're just kind of going, yeah, that's what's going on. And, you know, maybe you're pulling into yourself. Maybe you're feeling more intuitive or more psychic. Maybe you're feeling attached to kind of what some people would call the other side. You know, sometimes I think these days can be a little gray, and not because it's the fifth day in a row that it's raining here in Nevada, but just that grayness, you know, between the material world and the spiritual world, you know, just maybe in a place of being very creative in these days. So, you know, just think about that. We're kind of moving into, you know, that space of change, and that space of change where we're not quite sure what's coming, but we have a longing for what's going to come next. So that's what we're going through this week. So once again, just let it be a backdrop. Now, and maybe you go, hey, that's not happening for me at all. But if it is, that's what these few days are about. Introspection, you know, leaning into our intuition and releasing and reassessing, you know, being ready for something new to happen. Now, also today, I feel like we might be kind of philosophical today because Venus in Capricorn is squaring both the North Node in Aries and the South Node in Libra. Now, the North Node I see as destiny. It's where our psyches are calling us to. The South Node, it's about what we already know, maybe what we've overlearned in our lives, those habits that we always go running back to. So in an individual chart, when you look at that North and South Node, it can tell you a lot about, you know, when do you go running home to something? What do you rely on? But what are you being called to? But it also works for, in a sense, here again, mass consciousness for the world. So with the North Node in Aries right now, many of us are being called to be more courageous, to stand up for something, you know, to be willing to stand on our own two feet, to accept being independent, you know. And, you know, I always think Aries is, I'm not going to say funny, but they are the courageous ones. They're the warriors. And they're like, hey, I want to go. But I also kind of hear them saying, follow me. Because they want partners. It's not that they want to do it all by themselves, but they're not going to let somebody else hold them back that says, I'm afraid. So, you know, it's like, I'm going to go bungee jumping or I'm going to go do this. They're not going to let somebody hold them back, but they'd love it if you go with them. And so we're all learning some level of courage or what our passions are calling us to. And so it is a time of adventure. You know, I kind of think of it as the knights after the Holy Grail. That's kind of part of the mythology of it. But the South Node in Libra is being in relationship with other people, having everything be balanced and pretty and, in a sense, perfect. Well, what happens when you start, you know, taking some risks? Well, all of that balance looks a little crazy, or maybe those relationships suffer a little bit. So we're finding that perfect sweet spot between the North Node and the South Node. And when Venus squares them, well, then guess what? But, you know, today we might actually feel uncomfortable because Venus is going, I don't know exactly where to be on this continuum. I'm not quite sure how much courage, how much risk-taking, how much independence is going to make me feel okay, and how much can I push this relationship with this other person or my relationship with my job. So just notice those are some of the things you may be thinking about. How much imbalance, how much chaos can I kind of create here and still feel okay, still feel comfortable? Now, interestingly enough, the sun in Aquarius is actually making connections to the south and north node also. But those are more, they're sextiles and trines, and so that's very accommodating. So, you know, the word that came to me about this combination is boundaries. You know, finding, like I said, that sweet spot of, if you're just too sedate, you're not feeling energetic, you're not feeling the motivation of Aries, well, we need to pump that up a little bit. But not letting, just settling into that, well, everything has to be balanced, everything has to be pretty. You know, another thing I thought of, you know, that comes up, if you've ever done any renovation, you know, a physical renovation, like in a house or, you know, in a yard or whatever, it looks kind of ugly when you're in the midst of it. It can look pretty chaotic. I don't think that part of it is fun. It's kind of like, I even have a hard time imagining how it's all going to come back together. Well, I feel like that's kind of what's going on a little bit today psychically, or going on in our hearts or our minds as we're going, hey, I want to shake this up a little bit. I really do want this renovated. I want this to look different, but I sure don't like the tearing down process. You know, when it's chaotic, I have a hard time living with that. So that north node says, follow me, let's go do this. And the south node is like, wait, let me make this all pretty again, or let me get all this balance. So maybe it's just about boundaries. But also remember, when we're talking Venus, we're not just talking love. We're talking our values. So it can be about money. It can be about many, many, many things in our lives that are important to us. So this isn't just about relationships. Now, Wednesday, we talked about that a little bit. Remember, it's a day of alchemy. Now, that's the word I love for Wednesday, and actually for the cosmic dance in general, because alchemy is that idea that we bring different things together to create a third that only is partially like the first things that we had. You know, it's that old idea, what is it, turning lead or, I don't know, into gold? You know, using chemicals, using that alchemical process to change things into gold is kind of the classic thought that we have with alchemy. But it works in lots of ways in our lives, because that's it. You bring things together and they can become this incredible third thing, this incredible energy that was so different from what you started out with. And so that's what it looks like. I mean, I always think astrology is like that, or life is like that. It's very much like, you know, alchemy. But it's also that idea that we, you know, it's just the way life works. It's astrology, but it's also the way life works. And if we see all these characters dancing, all these different messages, they make a melody, just like notes. Right? Just like notes in a song or notes in a melody. They come together, and we may not even know exactly how that's going to happen. But remember, that Venus trine Uranus is a charming energy. It's what makes us excited. We're more open-minded than usual. We may be more generous and certainly experimental. And remember, there could be opportunities for love, for romance, money, and all kinds of other goodies. But they tend to come out of the blue. You know, when we say that, oh, it came from out of the blue. Well, sometimes other people go, well, I know exactly where that came from. But often to our consciousness, it feels like it's unexpected. And unexpected because it's Uranus, the planet of awakening. That's what it's called, the planet of awakening. Because all of a sudden, we see something we didn't see before. And there again, I tie that back to the idea that Uranus was discovered with a telescope. So for thousands of years, people looked out into the sky, and as far as we could see was Saturn. Now, maybe we had that expectation. Maybe there's something else out there. But we didn't know, because the only thing that we were using as a reality test was our eyes. But as we developed a new way to see, and that's what it is, a telescope gave us a new way to see. And the new way to see said, look, there's something else out there. And it turns out there was something, many something else's out there. So that's what Uranus does. It gives us a new way to see. it opens it up. You know, if you think you're an egg, you know, it kind of cracks the shell and you're peeking out. So, you know, tomorrow, just be open to that. Be open to something exciting or new or interesting coming into your lives. And remember, too, Mars is going to be sextile Neptune tomorrow. That's also a very positive energy. Neptune is that planet of spirituality, imagination, creativity, dreaminess, being able to truly see beyond the material world. If you've ever read those books about, you know, Through the Wardrobe, where the kids, they you know, in England, they walk through the back of a wardrobe into a whole other world. Narnia, I believe, is what it's called. Well, that's what it's like. That's Neptune going, there's a whole lot more beyond what your eyes can see. So we get that theme in there again, too. So Mars sextile Neptune, one of the things I love is I think, you know, Mars is that warrior. Remember, he is the ruler of Aries. He's a warrior. He's courageous. He can be aggressive. He can be assertive. Neptune kind of takes the edginess off of Mars. So now you get this motivation and inspiration that can be a little bit more sensitive and perceptive. It can be sweet. It can be selfless and artistic and idealistic. So, you know, when you're thinking about, hey, maybe I am going to plan that blind date for tomorrow, or maybe I am going to meet that person for coffee, or yeah, I'm going to ask my boss, can we talk about that new project? Whatever it is. And it doesn't mean that people won't be assertive, but assertiveness is going to be channeled through that Neptune kind of energy. So it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to look a little bit different. It may look more supportive and compassionate. It may be more emotional than we would expect. Maybe more sensuous as well. So yeah, that Neptune takes that edginess off of Mars. And especially because it is that sextile. So it's not like, you know, it's not like engulfing it. It's just like this sweet little connection. It's almost like somebody who acts differently when they're with the love of their life. And all of a sudden you go, when did he get to be so nice? Or, you know, at work, he's all, you know, all business. Or, you know, boy, he's pretty strict or aggressive. And then you see him around the love of his life. And all of a sudden he's just a much sweeter character. You know, we've all had that experience, right? Somebody, when they're in a couple, can act very differently. Well, that's Neptune having an effect on Mars tomorrow. Now, there's no doubt about it. It can also be kind of weaving a spell that we need to make sure we're just not, you know, falling through the rabbit hole, so to speak. But there again, sometimes we need to fall through that rabbit hole, you know, and just see something a different way. But maybe just keep your head on a little bit. So when I think about tomorrow, this Wednesday, with those things going on with Venus and Mars, I think of synchronicity. And I think of romantic chemistry. Once again, alchemy. But remember, it's not all about love and intimate relationships. It can be about anything you're attracted to. It can be all kinds of things that you want to bring into your life, even a new pair of shoes. And another thought that you might consider putting into this little pot that's stewing is that the Moon and Venus and Mars are all in Capricorn tomorrow. And the reason that's important is because even though we're talking about this kind of magical, Neptunian, otherworldly energy, well, Capricorn has his feet on the ground. This is the sign of commitment and devotion and responsibility. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, the disciplinarian, and he's patient and slow and organized. And more than anything else, Capricorn takes relationships seriously. Capricorn is usually playing for keeps. They're not usually the folks out there looking for a fling or a one-night stand. So that also colors any kind of relationship that starts tomorrow or kind of the flavor of something. Some people may be going, I'm not interested in just playing around. I'm looking for something serious. Now, they may not actually say that, but just keep in mind that Mars and Venus are in Capricorn. Their motives, what they want, is something for the future. Not just something for tomorrow. But on the other hand, what are those other voices? What are those threads of the melody? We're talking about unpredictable, eccentric Uranus is in the mix tomorrow. along with dreaming Neptune. So yeah, can we be creating the magic of authentic soul attraction? Absolutely. And once again, the soul attraction to another person, to a project, to a job, to an opportunity, to a new house, to a car. There's all kinds of ways that energy can mix it up and help you find something that you really want to have in your life. And I call it, I feel like we're going to be in the right place at the right time. But as with, at least experientially, I'd say sometimes when I really have been at the right place at the right time, that is not what I thought. It was not until later when I realized, oh my God, if I had not been there, if that not had not happened that way, I wouldn't be where I am now. So being in the right place at the right time, it's really great when we know it in the moment, but we don't always know it in the moment. But I'd say it's something to keep in mind, and it's not really just tomorrow, but tomorrow we may actually feel it. All right? Okay, now moving on to Thursday. Don't lose sight, especially even tomorrow, that the sun in Aquarius, it's moving methodically, slowly towards that perfect square with Uranus, and it's perfect on Thursday morning. And this is very much square. What does a square say? It says, I need an adjustment. Now, we talk about it being contentious. We talk about it being a conflict, and it is. But I want you to think in terms of making an adjustment. You know, that's what life is mostly about. The puzzle pieces don't always just fit together perfectly. We make adjustments. And what's important here is that Uranus moving into that energy of the sun, the ego, what it says is, hey, wake up and smell the coffee here. Something needs to change. You need to look at something a little bit differently. Maybe you need to let your personality just be like, you know, just like I said, wake up and smell the coffee. And the conflict between the sun and Uranus is always, in a sense, I keep wanting to say a loud noise, because it is. It's kind of like, you're not going to sleep through this. But when the sun is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Taurus, it's even more so, because those are fixed signs. Aquarius and Taurus are fixed as far as zodiac goes. And what that means, it's their job to hold the energy in place. This is not cardinal, which is starting something new. And it's not mutable, which says, I kind of have my foot in both worlds. This is fixed. It says, my job is to hold the energy. My job is to not make a move. My job is to be right here. So they can be stubborn, or what I like to say, perseverating, because it's kind of like, no, I'm going to be right here and you're not going to move me. So when we have a square between fixed signs, it can even be more like, okay, where's the sweet spot here? How do I figure this out? So we very much may feel like we have to accommodate one or the other, because a reasonable accommodation or a reasonable compromise kind of is a fleeting thing. We're just not sure what it looks like. And I'm not saying it's not there. But once again, we can see this in a very positive light, because maybe this is going to show us where we have been giving our power and authority away. Are we doing it by giving it to a habit? We're just letting some habit that we have just take control of our lives and go, oh, well, I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's more powerful than me. Or are we letting that same thing happen with a person? You know, we don't like what's going on, or they're always calling the shots, or they're deciding where we meet and when we meet and what we eat or whatever it is, and we're just giving our power away. Well, what tends to happen, though, on Thursday, as we become aware of this, we're just like, you're not the boss of me. I don't want you, you know, pushing me or controlling me. Now, if we're taking control ourselves, we're going to recognize that and say, okay, how can I change something? How can I see this differently instead of blaming the other person? But just recognize, on Thursday, we, other people, may be feeling very hypersensitive. And even the slightest thing that somebody does, we get really, really, really upset. Well, there again, it's not that one thing that happened. They brought us coffee and it didn't have the right cream sugar in it. It's that it happens every single day. So it becomes a cumulative effect. And all of a sudden on Thursday, we're like, no more. And so the other person is like, wow, sorry, it was just a cup of coffee. Well, in our minds, it's not just a cup of coffee. Maybe it's, you don't see me, you don't listen to me, or I've just given my power away. So maybe we're hypersensitive, maybe we're hypervigilant. You know, so recognize we could be impulsive and dramatic and erratic. And we could do it. Other people could do it. There could all be other things as well. But remember, some of those responses, they're cumulative effects. Somebody's just had it up to here, so to speak. But it's very positive. I mean, I really do think, because sometimes we have to get pushed to that point before we recognize, hey, this isn't working. I don't like this. And then I know, I mean, I do that. And sometimes I wonder, why didn't I say something before? Why did I let it happen 10 times instead of the first time or the second time going, you know, this doesn't work for me, or I don't feel comfortable with this. You know, this is a blinking light. That's what's going to happen. That Sun square Uranus is a blinking light. And it's reminding us of that dance of Aquarius. You know, that I want to be independent. I want to make my own rules. I want to be free. But I also want to belong. I want to be with a group of people that admire me and love me, you know, but I don't want to be constrained by it. If your love means we always have to go to the same restaurant, maybe not so much, you know. So, and I know some of these examples probably seem kind of silly, but just recognize that something could kind of come to a head on Thursday or somewhere around there. But very likely, once again, it's cumulative. It's been building over time. But it can be this major aha awareness. That's what it can be. You know, I didn't realize how much I felt like I was always accommodating somebody else's needs, somebody else's way, or in some way or another, giving my power away. You know, and sometimes it can be also we're giving our power away in any number of things. Maybe we're spending our money on something that's just not that important to us. You know, maybe we are just jeopardizing or sabotaging something in our lives, and it's not even that important to us. And all of a sudden, Uranus goes, yoo-hoo, wake up. Smell the coffee. What's going on here? And so at first we feel a little like you don't have the, you know, you're not the boss of me. But then you recognize Uranus is just calling you to do something different that's going to feel more freeing. That's going to feel better. You're going to feel more awake. And I'd like to end this section by also saying, I mean, giving you a quote that you've heard from me before. Because to me, this is such an Aquarian quote, but especially when it comes to love, but maybe with habits and routines too. And this is by the author of The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I don't know if I said that right. He's French, but he said, love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward together in the same direction. And to me, that is so Aquarian, because it says, I want to be with you. But just looking at each other and getting lost in each other is not what I consider to be love. Remember, Aquarius is the sign of brotherhood / sisterhood. You know, it's the sense of being companions, being souls of like mind, being connected, but not necessarily identical. So love consists not in gazing at each other, but in looking outward in the same direction. That is your Aquarian theme. That very much sums it up. So, you know, just think about that kind of energy and the fact that Uranus is very, very influential this week. So throughout the week, we're going to keep hearing these rumblings that in some ways, all it's saying is wake up, look around, be the neutral observer. And also, you know what happens on Thursday? The moon enters Aquarius. So see, once again, we just, wherever we look, that thread just keeps coming up and amplifying the energy this week. In any relationship, in any situation, part of us is saying, do I feel restricted? Do I feel controlled? Do I feel oppressed? Or do I simply feel squeezed? And I just need something different. But I also want to bring up an idea that I think is very important, especially here again, that new moon on Friday in Aquarius, is that even though Uranus is what we call the modern ruler of, or Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. And this is something that actually I have worked with and struggled with for a long time. Historically, traditionally, it was Saturn that was the ruler of Aquarius, because we didn't know, as people, those early astrologers, and I say early for thousands of years, didn't know about Uranus. Saturn was the ruler of Aquarius. And at first, when I found that out, I'm just kind of like, how could that be? You know, Saturn seems so, so very different than Aquarius. How could you take those same sense of being patient and organized and structured and put that into Aquarius? Well, the more I've worked with it, the more I realize it's so true. I mean, that Uranus energy, Aquarius energy, is about freedom and reform and innovation. But it's also very structured. It's a fixed sign. It is organized in its own way. It just doesn't look the same as Capricorn. But when we think of what's going on this week, and with that new moon, I think it's also interesting because, you know how often when we're talking on the show or, you know, I'm writing in the Power Peak, I'm telling you, oh my gosh, we've got this new moon and this planet's doing that. There's all these other things going on at the same time. Well, you know what? This time, not so much. Those other planets are pretty darn quiet. They're not making a lot of noise. They're literally giving the stage to Uranus and to Aquarius. It's very singular in its focus. Now, not completely, but for the most part. We have that Sun and Moon. They are both square Uranus. That's what we've got. Now, Venus is leaving that square with the nodes that we talked about. You know, and she may still be somewhat under the influence of Uranus from her own connection, but for the most part, it's quiet. And Uranus itself, it is making some noise because it's in conjunct the South Node in Libra. So once again, you know what that tells me is that there's almost this feeling of, hey, it's hard to find this perfect balance of independence and individuality, but also being in relationship with other people. This is hard. This is tough. I'm struggling with this. I'm trying to figure this out. But once again, that new moon on Friday, very independent. You know, it's that Uranus energy that is coming in. But remember, it's the Great Awakener. You know, so no, it's not going to necessarily be very subtle, but it could be a bold aha moment for us. But with this Saturn, the reason I brought up Saturn is because this also isn't just about destroying everything. It's not about just throwing everything out of the closet. It's about figuring out what comes next. It's the Saturn saying, okay, let's organize this. Let's structure this. Let's manifest something in its place. So when we think about that as a traditional ruler of Aquarius, it's not enough to just be the rebel and the revolutionary. We have to have another idea to replace it. It's the beginning of another process. It's the beginning of another manifestation. So can we really look at that and just say, yeah, sometimes we have to throw a fit. Maybe we have to go in that closet and just throw everything on the floor. Or maybe we have to, you know, maybe we do have to stand up to somebody, and maybe we raise our voice a little bit, or maybe we do something a little bit outrageous. We walk out or whatever it is we do, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't need to stop there. What are we going to replace it with? And I also think that as we look at this new moon, you know, and here again, this could be one where there's a little anxiety because it's anticipation. We want something different, even if we don't know exactly what it is, but it's the intrinsic imperative to grow. And see, so it's not always about, I just want to rebel against something. It's, I want something different. You know, I'm longing for something else. And I think that's an important component too, because how often do we just go, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. You know, I'm just going to throw it out, rebel against this. And it's more than that. Sometimes that not liking where we're at or feeling uncomfortable or that urgency for something to change or to be reformed, which is Aquarius, is that longing, but it's longing for something better. It's longing for something new, which brings me to another quote. And this one is by Bette Davis. She was born with the sun in Aries, square Uranus in Capricorn. So she knows what she's talking about. And she said, success only breeds a new goal. And see, I like that because it's not, I don't like where I am, I'm doing something else. But it reminds me of kind of the human state. We always want more. In fact, I saw an ad recently and it says, 99 pairs of shoes, what's one more? And, you know, there was a part of me like, oh my God, you know, kind of trying to make us feel okay if we just want more and more and more and more in our lives. But, you know, one of the reasons we want more, think about it. It's hardwired into us. If you take a breath, that feels great, right? We get those oxygen, you know, running through our bloodstream. But what happens a few seconds, a minute later? We need more oxygen. It's the human condition. I ate breakfast, feels great, I'm satisfied. 5 hours later, hey, I'm hungry. You know, the human condition is that you always have to have something else. You know, it's hardwired into our psyches. We don't often have something that just satisfies us and that's the end. We're going to need more. We're going to need more oxygen. We're going to need more food. We're going to need more love. We're going to need, you know, we're going to have to take a shower again. Yeah, took a shower this morning. Guess what? Probably going to have to do it again tomorrow or the next day or whatever. So it's hardwired, which also brings me to the idea of try not to be so judgmental of yourself. When you see things in your life that you don't like, whether you go, oh, I created a mess or whatever it is, try not to be so judgmental and try not to be afraid of disappointment or loss or change or discontent. Because there's still messages, you know. We feel hungry because our body needs more food. We need to breathe, you know, and bring in more oxygen. And so I'm not saying justify what's going on for you, but don't be afraid of discontent. Don't be afraid of Uranus coming along and saying, wake up. Don't be afraid of feeling disappointed or feeling like, oh my God, I have to breathe again. I have to eat again. I have to do this again. You know, that's what life on this planet is about. So let your emotions, your feelings be your teachers that point the way to what is next in your life and take charge of your interpretations and perceptions because they're totally yours, right? And, you know, go and this weekend celebrate. You know, celebrate the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Play some Beatles music and get into 1964 and think about whether you were alive or not, what that year was about, and what you want this next year to be, if you're into the Chinese system. And I think it would be fun just to do it because it's just fun, right? All right, well, as the month continues, we're going to continue to talk about Aquarius, probably for the next few years, right? Because it's never going to be very far from our consciousness with Pluto sitting in Aquarius. So there's much, much more to come when it comes to that, okay? All right, and I've got one more quote. I'm going to end the show, and this is from Jules Verne, who is, I believe, Mercury in Aquarius. And, you know, he was a science fiction writer. He says, how many things have been denied one day only to become realities the next? That's Aquarius for you. So we'll continue to talk about that. Thank you so much for joining me today. Everybody in the chat room, thank you for your messages. I've been looking at some of them, and I will continue to look at them, you know, as soon as the show ends. So thank you for joining me that way, and I hope you have a great week. Lots of wonderful stories about the energy that's coming our way tomorrow and on Friday with the new moon. So thanks to the listeners, everybody in the chat room, and to Jay Varvel, who is our, I want to say host today, but he's our producer, but he's hosting me, I suppose. So thank you, Jay. And please, everybody, stay tuned for Empowerment coming up next with Kelly Whetstone. This is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to this world.